I don't know about you, but one of the things that I've noticed about myself is that when I'm in the kitchen and I'm cooking and I pull these out, you know what one of the first things I do is? This. Why? They've always worked. Like, I don't test out a spoon first. You know, I'm just like, but for some reason, and if we're honest, we all do that, right? We get these out, we're like, I don't know if we like to hear it, I don't know what it is, but it's like, we just do that. I don't know why. Our alarm clocks. Many of you, you will set your alarm many, many, many minutes before you're supposed to get up because you want to hit that snooze like multiple times. Why? We don't know. We just do it. Right? That's just kind of a part of who we are. We follow celebrities on Twitter. Many of us. I know. You in the room. You act like you don't, but I know you got some people that you're following. You're like, I don't really know why I do that. Or maybe it's to hear really or see really important tweets, you know, like this one, it hit not long ago. Kim K. You might maybe know who she is. She said, I had no idea pickle was really a cucumber. I mean, that's an important tweet that we need to retweet. We don't know why, but we need to do that. You know, Jaden Smith, son of Will Smith, he tweeted out, if everyone in the world dropped out of school, we would have a much more intelligent society. Now, that is retweetable material right there. I don't know why. I am running last week in my neighborhood. True story. I'm running, and I know one of those sick people who like to run, and I'm probably going to get up in the morning, tomorrow morning, I'm going to go run, right? And even after what happened this past week, I get out, I get running, I don't get very far into the run at all, and I'm doing something on my phone, and instead of running in the street, I'm on the sidewalk, and we live in Lantana where it was a brilliant idea to plant a whole lot of live oaks right near the sidewalks, and now the roots are growing large enough to the sidewalk is starting to like pump, you know, come up. And yeah, you know exactly what happened. So I'm like running along, and all of a sudden, my foot, I'm looking at my phone, and my foot hits, and the whole world goes into slow-mo. And I'm like, this is gonna really hurt. And I fell, like, on the sidewalk, boom, my hip, I mean, like crushed me, right? My arm is all scraped up, and I mean, first thing I think of, did I break my phone? Not my hip, but my phone. Right? Why? I don't know. You know, hospital bill is going to be way more important than replacing the phone. Anyway, so I get up. Next thing I do, I just keep running like I'm Forrest Gump or something. I'm just going to, you know, I'm running back home. You know, I'm hurt. I'm limping, but I'm running. Why? I don't know. Maybe because I'm just thinking, hopefully nobody saw this and I can get away from the scene as fast as possible. Why? Why do we do some of the things we do? Why do we come into this place? We've been in this series in April. It's been asking this question about the church. Why? Why does the church come here corporately? Why do we connect in small group? Why do we do missional types of things? For the purpose of earning our way to heaven, maybe? Maybe it's following a tradition. Maybe it's because your kid, you grew up in church, so now you've come into this neighborhood, into this moment in time in your life going, you know what? My kids need to be in church just like I was in church. Maybe it's for social reasons. Maybe it's to be good citizens. I was in a conversation with a parent last year who said this to me. She said, no, she doesn't go to this church, but she said, you know what? I believe my goal in parenting is to help my kids become good citizens. Wait, is that really what it's all about? Is it about just social justice or doing good things or making the world a better place? I grew up in the 80s. I know that we are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's keep it. There's a choice we're making. We're changing our life. It's true, you make a better wage as you and me. I know that, but that's not why we're here. We are individually and corporately here to glorify God. That's our purpose. That's the answer to why. And in Romans 15, 8 and 9, Christ, it says, came so that the Gentiles may glorify God. In 1 Corinthians 10, 31, it says that all that we do, we are to what? To glorify God. to bring him honor and glory. I put up this definition on the board about God's glory. It says, basically, as we glorify God, it means that I recognize him for who he is and what he's done to honor, celebrate, praise, worship. God's glory is the revelation of his character and his presence. And as Christ's disciples, we are to reveal his character as he presents himself to the world through us. That was true 2,000 years ago with his disciples as they began this mission. That's just as true for us today. And so we jump into this John 17 passage for a couple of minutes just to kind of reflect a minute over the last couple of weeks and set the stage for today. Because Jesus is talking to the disciples about the hostility they're going to face. But be of good cheer, you have overcome the world. Even though you're going to face a lot of trouble, he says, remember, in John chapter 16. And then right after that, he transitions into this prayer. And he starts to talk to his Father. He looks heavenward and he says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. He presents in himself the purpose that we also, as Christ followers, are to have, to glorify God, to reveal him as he moves us throughout this world. It says, for you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know. Greek tense there shows him saying that they may know and keep on knowing you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you have given to me. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory, which is the majesty, the splendor, the radiance that I had with you, even way before, John chapter 1, the world began. You see, Christ shows us through his prayer that he had a purpose as he walked through this world with skin on, and that purpose was to reveal and to glorify God. And now as little Christ, that's what we're to do. Matter of fact, in verse 6, he actually tells his dad, he says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. He begins to speak about and pray now for his disciples. And as he prays, you get the impression that he really is interceding on their behalf, just as he is interceding on our behalf right now before the throne of God, it says. He's wanting them to get it, and he wants us to get it. And so at Easter, a couple weeks ago, what do? We focused on really the first part of this prayer that Jesus is praying. Not just the description of what his purpose is, but it actually, if we go a little bit deeper, he gives us this example that we are to glorify him when we believe. So we did all the promo campaign about Easter, and we came in here with the focus of believe. This happens when we receive the invitation of faith and satisfaction in him that is offered through salvation. John 17, 7, he says, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me, and they know. They accepted, they knew with certainty, they believed all of these words. What is he saying? He's saying they stepped out in faith, in their belief. Later in verse 13, he says, I'm saying these things so that they might have the full measure of my joy with them, full satisfaction. How do we glorify God? How does the church glorify God? By placing our belief, our faith completely in him. That's how our church has chosen to do that. We place Jesus above all else. And so in our lives, we are as well individually to place Jesus above all else. And in that, we find ultimate purpose and satisfaction. And so, man, that was the message of Easter, but that's also the message of every day, hopefully, of our lives. Satisfaction. When Holly and I get away for a special meal that doesn't have the kids attached to it or the words taco somewhere in the... We really enjoy going to Verf's. I don't know how many of you have been to Verf's before. It's over in Highland Village. They're not paying me to say this. But I'm just going to tell you right now, we love going there. And so on special occasions, we'll go there. And, you know, the hardest thing for us to do is to figure out what to eat, because we'll oftentimes split something because the meals are pretty big. And, you know, and it's not even the problem of us trying to decide because she wants one thing and I want the other. It's because every time we've gone, it's been amazing. And we've gotten something different just about every single time. And so we're just trying to figure out, do we try something new that's probably going to be amazing again? Or do we go back to one of the other things that's been amazing and split it? Because you know what? It's always satisfied. Now, I'm not going to say it always will. At some point, we're probably going to have a bad day. But you know what? Up to this point, it has been amazingly satisfying. And what I can tell you is this, that Jesus Christ has promised, listen, I will satisfy. I am the living water. I have come so that you might have life and have it to the full. And what God wants us to understand is that we come into this experience with him saying, as my life is, as this church is, we are open ambassadors through this community, spreading this message, come as you are. This is good because God satisfies. He satisfies the quandary of our sin problem. He satisfies the question of our life's purpose. He satisfies the deepest needs of our soul. You see, he satisfies. And that's week one in answering the question of why. And then we started to turn the page a little bit. Because as we turn the page, we saw in John chapter 17, verse 11, or we see that now, that Jesus says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What Jesus is saying there is, listen, you glorify the Father. Will you understand this whole concept of belong? It's not just that we believe, but that we also belong to something that is so much bigger, to a bigger picture of community, of relationships. And that was the focus of last week's message. Because you see, as he's talking about that interconnectedness within the body, we try to live that out here as well. And so you go out into the foyer, and we had that little mini-palooza last week. And 37 brand new families, not brand new to our church, but 37 families said for the first time, yes, we want to live in community, in small group. Wow. Can I just tell you that that is fulfilling the purpose that we are called to be here and to be one with each other. That we have an innate need to belong in relationship with Christ followers and accountability and covenant relationship encouraging, affirming, challenging, taking care of each other ministry moment. And you say, do you really believe that? Yes, I do. So much so that we're talking about family camp at the beginning of the service. You know what? We have family camp. We did family camp last year with a bunch of people from our small group. And next week, we're going to be serving at HAC with a bunch of people from our small group. And we meet together in different people's homes within our small group because we believe this. And it's not just at the smallest nuclear level like that within our church, but it's even in lots of other different ways. Some of you have asked, so how's the whole new thing going on with, like, you know, the thing you're doing? And people are like, we don't know what the words are, but Randy's doing something else. Yes, it's called Reach Out, and I'm doing that thing, youth ministry globally, but then I'm also here doing the missions thing part-time here at Rock Point, and that whole transition happened to me March 1st, and I just want to tell you one little quick story about that. So as a part of the Reach Out organization, we've been invited into this coalition. It's called the Global Youth Coalition, and there's five organizations that are a part of it. And most of these men have been doing youth ministry for anywhere between 35 and 45 years. And they are guys that, to be honest, when I was a kid, right, I would come to like a youth event and sit and be a part of something that they would have put on. Some of these names I've known for most of my adult life, and I'm at this retreat with these guys a week and a half ago. And we're sitting there, and I'm just like, I don't belong here. It's like, I hear that song, that Sesame Street song, which one of these is not like the other? That would be me, right? That's me. I don't deserve this. I shouldn't be here. I'm not in this moment. And yet I'm in this moment and we're talking. And the reason why I bring this up is because this coalition has just now come together to say, you know what? There are 4.3 or so billion people in the world who don't know Jesus. Out of that, 2.3 of them are young people. And so you know what? This organization does this really great, and this organization does this really great, and this organization does this really great, and this organization does this really great. And you know what? We've been around so long that you know what? We have nothing to gain and nothing to prove, and so we're going to put a big old map on the board, and we're going to say, okay, where are you in the world, and where are you, and where are you, and let's take all of what we do best together and leverage it all for the kingdom and throw it there. And I just want to tell you something. As we continue to talk, my skin just got goosebumps all over it. And you know why? Because I'm thinking, that's the body of Christ. That's saying, you know what? We got nothing to lose. Let's just all leverage everything that we have for the kingdom and let's do it together. And you see, we are better together. And so we have this banner up here, and it's not just to be another B on the wall. It's to say, no, God designed us to belong. And that was last week. And all of that's introduction to today. Because Jesus continues, he keeps on praying, and he says this. He talks about glorifying him when we go beyond. Yeah, I know we're skipping the become piece, but that's because we're really in this missional moment where we like gave away our shoes and then the men of Nehemiah, and then we're going to do hacking. It just made sense to have it here, so just go along with me. Okay, here we go. John 17:20. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me be in them and that I myself may be in them. What is Jesus' prayer doing right now? He's looking out beyond those who are currently with him. Jesus' focus is beyond even just where the physical sight is. He says, I realize, God, it doesn't stop with me. And we've got to say, I realize, God, it doesn't stop with me. As a matter of fact, if I'm going to really fulfill the Great Commission, then you've set me up to not just be a disciple of yours. Sometimes we hear the word disciple and think, oh, that's really cool. You know, I'm going to get more knowledge so that I can know God more. Yes, we do need to know God more. But you know what? Disciple inherently means disciple maker. And so we replicate. And as we do that, it involves us going beyond what we currently do, going beyond where we currently feel comfortable. And that's why we as a church believe in being on mission locally and globally. So now the rest of the service, we just get to talk about really cool stories. In the first quarter of this year, we had 10 guys headed to Ecuador, led by Brandon Graham, our men's pastor. Rock Point Missions furnished a dental chair and equipment to complete this free dental clinic that's happening there in Ecuador at a church that we partner with financially and help in a variety of ways through our funds and the people that we send there. They built a 4-foot-high, 100-foot-long retaining wall to protect the new construction during the mudslides of the rainy season. It was an ask by a mission that we support, and these men said, "Yeah, we'll step into that moment." It's going beyond for that week. Several of us were in Cuba in January, and we were conducting these three regional training conferences, and there were 75 Cuban leaders that showed up. And out of those 75 that showed up, about 25 or 30 different ones in each setting. And as a part of all of it, there were some cool stories that happened. There were some challenging moments. Like in the first regional conference we had, they actually told us that we couldn't meet anymore. And so we were like, oh, wow, I wonder how this is going to work out. And so the leader on the ground pulled us all aside into the parking lot because he felt like that was the safest place for us to be. And he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. How about we all just keep on meeting as small groups all around the hotel, right? All I ask you to do is just pray with your eyes open. I can do that. But you know what? In my heart, all of a sudden, it just hit me. Wow. You know what? This is life for a lot of these believers. But in the beauty of that week, we got to also go to the upper right-hand picture right there is a church. It's a house church. Pastor Manolo's daughter and her daughter live in 1/3 of that house. The other 2/3 of it is a church. That's the church right there. Behind that red door right there is where they live. And they packed that thing out. They're doing some remodel of it right now, trying to get it all set. But they put more people in there than they can actually fit. And Pastor Manolo was like, you know what? I got a dream. And here's what's so cool is Pastor Manolo, let's see, I don't think we can see him right here in that picture, but here's a bunch of the soccer kids. As a matter of fact, there's one of the soccer kids that we support as a church right there, upper left-hand corner, kicking the soccer ball in the trash dump right next to the church. It's where they play soccer. It's a little challenging. It's not quite like Toyota Louisville. And so there they are playing soccer. There's the team right there. We're kind of connecting with them. It's really cool. Our church has given away balls and soccer equipment and uniforms and all this stuff. And so our kids through cross training have supported them like crazy. And it's just been so cool. And so Joe Edwards and his son Nate and I are standing there as Pastor Manolo says, you know what? We're going to be packing this church out because of the people that are already coming. And God's given us this and it's so amazing. But you know what? We'd love to put a second story on this. The foundation is sturdy enough where we can kind of add this second floor. And boy, we'd love to be able to do that. And you know, we were already halfway into the trip and I had this money in my pocket that Joe and I had just been saying, we're going to pray all week long. This is the tithes and offerings of the cross-training kids from this past summer. Over $700. And we're just saying, okay, God, we're just going to be praying all week long. What do we do with this? We don't know who to give this to. We don't know where this is supposed to go. And you know what? In that moment, it was like God just went, bing, 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 bing. How about you put a second floor on that church? So we gave the money to Pastor Manolo, and now that church has got a discipleship wing. Second floor. Where they can have even more people and they can disciple those kids that you've been pouring your life into indirectly that are coming to Jesus through Hector Soccer Club. Will Carlton, one of our church members, took a trip to Belize in February. Not on the church calendar. It's not something that was officially sanctioned, but you know what he did? He took a trip to Belize to connect with David and Karen Rhodes. That's pretty cool. We've been connected with them for over 7 years. Will goes down there with the Rotary Club. And they do aquaponics, which I don't really fully understand. Matter of fact, I'm going to get this definition wrong, but I think it has something to do with growing vegetables with fish poop. Okay. So they go down there, and you know what? They're helping the local economy, and they're creating jobs, and they're doing all, and they're teaching this sustainability, and it's like so cool. And they go there, and they do all these aquaponic fish poop plant things, you know? And it's so very cool. I'm not making fun of it. What I'm saying is, how amazing is that, that we've got ministry partners within our community who have jumped on board with missionaries that our church supports and cares very deeply about and is involved in projects on the ground right there. We've got a team that's headed there in less than 2 months for family mission trip. Once again, our 7th one. Matter of fact, we might even still have a couple more spots if anybody wants to go. I don't know if we do or not, but I might have just gotten in trouble. But if you want to go, talk to me and we'll see. Another off-the-grid experience. I've got a mom and a daughter who call me. The mom calls me on the phone. She's like, okay, my daughter is in college. She's going to be home for spring break. This is all happening in the first quarter of this year, by the way, right? We're still in the first 3 months. She says, my daughter's going to be home the first weekend of March. Is there something that we could plug into missionally, internationally, where the two of us could just go and serve? And I was like, well, yeah, let me still make some phone calls to see. And so long story short, they went and spent a week with the Spink family and with Heather and Richard over in Romania. And they spent her daughter's spring break in Transylvania, loving on kids, hanging out, sharing the gospel, being Jesus with skin on, right there, glorifying him. And that wasn't like some official Rock Point ordained mission trip. That's just people saying, you know what? My heart is just to go beyond. So where can we go? What can we do? So then we move into mid-March, and 45 of us head out to Lynch, Kentucky again, and it's spring break mission trip that we've created here within the Rock Point Church, and 11 families that came with elementary kids and middle school kids and high school kids, and we had a blast, because you know what? For the second year in a row, we get there, and it snows. Our kids are like, we've heard of snow? No, so we get there, and we're like having this epic snowball fight in the middle of the week. It's awesome, but you know what? It snows, and the school closes. And so the principal said, you know what? The school is closed, but can you just come over here and pray for us? So we take a team over to the local school. This is a school that is in Harlan County, there in the Lynch area, is in Cumberland County, or Harlan County. And this school services kids from kindergarten all the way through eighth grade, 500 kids in the school. And so we're hanging out there, and they say, can you just pray over us, pray over our faculty, pray over these classrooms? We go to the principal's office. She said, will you just pray over the office, pray over me? We've got such an amazing opportunity to reach these families for Jesus. She just loves Jesus with all her heart. She believes that that's where she's called to minister and serve. And she knows that they are in desperate situations. Because out of those 500 kids, 470 of them do not have a parent who works. Because their parents are dead or strung out on drugs or in prison because of drugs. And so because of that fact, right? And because of the economy and how poor this poorest county in our country is, here's what's happened, right? Out of that number, half of those kids are actually considered homeless because they just moved from house to house to house to house. And she said, listen, before Feed the Hunger showed up and started giving us food to take these kids so they could go home, ding, 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 Feed the Hunger. We're part of that. We're there. It's like before Feed the Hunger showed up, you know what? We were seeing kids leave at the end of May and show back up in the middle of August. And in that time frame, on average, kids lost 15 pounds. Because there was no one to take care of them. And Feed the Hunger stepped in. And we got to take boxes with the little yellow number 5 on it that we packed back in November and opened those boxes up and cooked the food in the kitchens of Marizzo Ministries and handed out to the communities while we were there. And love on those kids and pray for those precious faculty of that school. Our group was in 12 different locations there in Lynch. One of them, the local gas station. 24 missionaries believe they've been called into this county. And they've all raised their own support and they're all living there. 12 different couples. One of the couples reopened a local gas station that had closed down. And they do full service. And you know why they do full service there? Because they believe God has a ministry on them to go and pray with every person that comes to pump gas. So they offer them gas and hot coffee. And our group came down and joined them in that ministry and prayed with people as they came to get gas and gave them cookies and gave them hot chocolate and gave them coffee and ministered to people in amazing ways all week long. Going beyond. You say, I can't go to Belize. I can't go to Cuba. I can't go to Lynch. I don't have a passport for Kentucky. I mean, you got a lot of different things. I get it. I know. What about South Dallas? Right? What about Louisville? I got a couple of things on the screen here. Let's see. Tammy, Schultz, Marlo, Brazil. I love some of these quotes. We got several different quotes from people who are just saying, you know what? Here's the deal. I serve because why? Because I see and feel real transformation power of Jesus in these men. Because I want to do anything to help encourage them to live their lives for Christ, Marlo says. And they go down with the First Friday experience that, you know what? They created because they saw a need in those men's lives as they began to connect relationally with that ministry. Mitch and Amber Gray, they were talking about this and made this observation. They said, as their family, they said, we believe that our family serves people outside of our inner community, and that's vital for us because it teaches our kids, Matthew 22:39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, to be boots on the ground, demonstrating God's love. I love this. It says, if we truly believe God is in control, then there is no place I feel that is not secure for my family when God calls us to serve. June Leatherman serves with a group with CCA. I love this. June says, what motivates me to serve at CCA is love. Love of God, and I love being able to serve the angels. In Matthew 25:34-46, Jesus says, when we serve them, we have served him. Imagine looking into the face of God and handing him a plate of chicken. I love it. I love it. And so we do that, but we also do all these collections all year, right? And we're collecting for Hurricane Harvey and for Maridzo Ministries in Kentucky and Vickery Elementary and the Salvation Army and Men of Nehemiah and on and on and on. And you've been a part of that, right? Because you've gone beyond and said, yes, you know what? I am willing to give physically even. Maybe I'm not going, but physically I'm able. One of those that we've given to, Cornerstone. They just had a fire recently. You know what's cool about that picture? I'll tell you what's cool, is next week we get to step into that with Hack, right? And do repair where they are so badly in need. Matter of fact, let's just take a minute and let's look at what's going to happen because these are all local opportunities. And so we got that video. Can we show that? Let's do it. Let's watch this. Isn't that cool? You get to be a part of that next week. Matter of fact, part of your financial gifts could even give Brandon a towel to wipe the sweat off his face. He's going to kill me for that. So is that, how easy is it? Well, here's how easy it is. Here's a little online. So you go to the website, right? And you start looking through. There's childcare right there for the ones. We're going to do night of worship. This is going so fast, I can't talk that fast. But there's a lot of options here. Right? And it's so cool. And you just kind of pick one of those boxes and you just hit it with the mouse or with your finger if you got the touch screen. And then it opens up, sign up, boom, you're there. Pretty sweet. Maybe you're thinking, okay, maybe I could do that, but you know what? On a regular basis, I don't know. I can't get out that much. I'm just not. Listen, how about going so far as the doorway? Because for some of us, going beyond means I'm going to serve as a greeter. What about a children's class or a youth small group that's waiting with your name on it, Mr. and Mrs. Future Mentor? You see, going beyond doesn't necessarily mean even a passport or a car more than a couple of miles. It could be doing international ministry right there in your own space, in your own living room. Did you know if you want to, you could be involved in teaching Chinese university students English 1 hour a week. 1 hour a week hanging out with a Chinese university student who's there in China teaching them English by using the Bible with the ultimate goal of introducing them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can connect you to that ministry and you never have to leave your living room and be in international missions. Going beyond. What does that look like for you? I think for us, sometimes we get so comfortable in our space and we just think, oh, well, I mean, we've almost, Christianity's everywhere. I mean, everybody I know is a Christian. Most people in this room are Christian. We're good. Christianity is growing. And you know what? That is so very true. Christianity is growing. As a matter of fact, this past year, we saw more people come to Christ and become believers globally than what we believe has been any year in the existence of our planet. Is that good news or what? That's great news. Here's the bad news. The planet is growing larger than it ever has before in population. And so even though Christianity grew larger, we are a smaller piece this year than we were last. There's work to be done. And God says, I'm ready for you to jump on board and go beyond, whatever that means. We're going to close with this. Going beyond is here and it's there. I love this picture of this first missionary journey. Check this out. Acts chapter 13 says on Paul's missionary journey, it says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way to the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to where? To Cyprus. You say, Randy, why did you pick that to close the service? Because it's a beautiful picture of here and there. Paul was going someplace he's never been. Have you ever been to Cyprus? Barnabas was going home. The first missionary journey, we find mission to both here and there. Home and abroad. That's what God's called us to. My question to you is, when you see that banner, when you see that bee, when you see beyond, what did God do in your heart this morning? Something. He's challenged us all to go beyond, to believe, to belong, to become. We'll talk about that in 2 weeks. And to go beyond. Why? Why? All for his glory. Because it's all about him. It's not about us. He doesn't need us. He chooses to use us to show him off. That's good news. You close your eyes with me and let's focus in on what God is doing in our hearts in this final few moments of worship. God, I recognize that we have covered a lot of ground for our ears to hear and a lot of stories for us to consume. But God, in that prayer that your son prayed for us in John 17 and in that mission that the first followers of yours went on in Acts 13. Thank you, God, for reminding us that it's all about you and that it's about proclaiming you here and there and that there's a world that still desperately needs you. And so, God, may we take that next step, whatever it is, knowing that you are worthy. You are worth it. Father, we love you. We thank you. We worship you. God, in our final moments here, as we give, as we show you how awesome it is that you would have given and entrusted so much of your resources to us that we get to give away. God, may we be responsible, faithful stewards as we continue to go beyond for you. In Jesus' name.